Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Bye. Amen. Well, we want to welcome all our guests, listening audience, and we thank you for tuning in this evening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura. And I got to confess, I've had quite a week. We've had four grandchildren staying with us, and we've certainly been very busy. And, you know, if there's not a post there, I'm sure Nathan was faithful to post one for me. I would apologize to our listening audience. It's just, you know, being a pastor and a teacher, sometimes you get caught up in the moment, and we have people we visit who are sick and check on and help around, and, you know, we're building the church, and we've been so busy. But I want to thank the listening audience from around the world, and down there in North Carolina, in Reidsville, Joseph Gibson and his folks up in Wisconsin and Connecticut, and all around the country, those who have written to us, emailed us, requested programs. We're going to get Joe Gibson back on again, and we always have a great time with Brother Gibson. And I told him, we're going to invite Granny. We're going to invite his grandmother on, and we'd like to do a program with her and a couple of the older Christian women from our church. That's the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California. We want to get them on, and we want them to tell us about the American, the United States. Tell us about the Christian nation they used to know. Amen. And it'd be great to hear about some of those stories and how our nation's changed and what God's doing now and how they saw our nation before. And maybe it'll help us all to get a little conviction in our hearts and change our direction. I'm not sure, but I do thank you for tuning in this evening. I have with me a young man who's going to pray us in a moment here. We want to thank Nathan on the spot and for allowing us to have this guest spot. Nathan's got me on the spot this evening talking about Easter. What is Easter? And, you know, I know a lot of people around the country are getting ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we know that he was born to die. And so this evening I have a short sermon I'm going to preach on Easter. Okay? And we'll find out a little bit about Easter. In the meantime, I'm going to bring you our wonderful brother, 13 years old. He's a preacher. He's works in our youth group. He helps around the church. He's an usher and just a great and wonderful brother. And his dad is my number two man, Scott Bro, Angelique. They're away this weekend. They're way out up in Big Bear Resort enjoying themselves and having a good week, we pray. And so here, without further ado, is our brother to pray us in for this program, JP.
Dear Lord, we come to you tonight, and we want to thank you for the teachings that Brother Peter gives us every Thursday, and we thank the women's night on Thursdays, Lord. We want to thank the people listening around the world. We want to pray for the people in the world that need physical, mental healing, Lord, and just help them in their life, Lord, because they need you, Lord. We want to thank you for the things that you have done in our lives, Lord. We're so grateful. We want to pray that we have another wonderful podcast, and everybody gets the message that the Lord intends them to get. And I'm going to hand it back over to Brother Peter, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And at 6:30, we're going to have Brother Aiden's going to come in. He's 6 years old, and he's going to sing Bring Them In, the first stanza. We're going to have JP set that up for him, get the book ready, and we're going to get that together. All right. So without further ado, if you'd like to turn with me this evening, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Matthew 28, 1 to 10. And, you know, we thank Enterprisement Media because they've given us a spot as a guest. We don't always see eye to eye on doctrine, and their beliefs are not necessarily our beliefs, and our beliefs are not necessarily their beliefs, but we have free reign to preach the truth. Amen? And that's what we give here. Well, this is called a Sound Doctrine broadcast for a reason, because you're not going to find anything here but sound doctrine. Amen? Oh, let me tell you, we serve a mighty God. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, and if you've come to listen to the program, you should have a Bible before you. We only use the King James Version, and for several reasons, and if you've tuned in the prior programs, you would know why. The reason is that we believe that's the inspired Word of God. Amen? The preserved, inspired Word of God, infallible, And so we use that Bible in particular. We found that the NIV has 60,000 words less than the King James, and we have reasons why we don't use the New King James. And, you know, if you go back and you archive some of our programs, you can find out a discussion about those things, and it'll help you to understand why the King James Bible is a superior Bible, and because it is the preserved Word of God, and why it doesn't have a copyright in those things. Those are important things. But this evening, you know, the world is preparing to celebrate Easter. And if you own a New King James Version Bible, they've removed the word Easter, and they put the word Passover in. And, you know, it's an error. It's an error, and you might be shocked to hear somebody say that that's an error. Well, it's an error in the New King James Bible because it was already the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they took the word Easter out because they said, you know, what does Easter have to do with Christians? It doesn't belong in there. It's a pagan holiday. And the truth was that Herod, the king at the time, he was the pagan, and he was about to, he had already killed James, and he was going to kill Peter, but he didn't want to do it on the pagan holiday because the people would be angry with him, and so he wanted to wait. But the people who thought they knew more than God, and they decided they were going to write a new King James Bible, they changed that over there in Acts chapter 12 to say Passover. And we know it couldn't be Passover because the next verse says, then were the days of unleavened bread. And if we're in days of unleavened bread and Passover is already passed, then we're in the feast days, and therefore we're at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So these things can, you know, you really have to study your Bible. Many, many of us have not studied our Bible, and we need to. We need to because it's the infallible Word of God. Do you know that every problem you have in your life can be solved by the Bible? That there is somebody in the Bible who has suffered in like manner as you are today, whether it's illness or whether it's money problems or divorce or infidelity. I mean, there's just, or you're a victim of crime or a perpetrator of crime. Or it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible, and God tells you how to get through that. God shows you how other people got through it and how he stood by to help them, and he'll help you. And tonight we're going to look at now Matthew chapter 28, and I'd like to read with you the first 10 verses, if I might. And so let me turn on a better light here so I get a better lighting. I don't want to stumble through the Word of God. And so here we go. In the end of the Sabbath, this is verse 1, 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. What a joyous moment that must have been. Verse 10 says, Then said Jesus unto them. Now remember, they're holding on to his feet, and they're worshiping him, they're bowing down to him. It's the Lord, he's alive, he's resurrected from the dead. And they're, he's told them, stop, all hail, don't run by me. And then Jesus says unto them, Be not afraid, go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall see me. Amen. And we know that, you know, in the book of Acts that there were 40 days the Lord showed infallible proofs of his resurrection. Amen. And so, you know, that's the book and the historicity of this Bible. And when it's studied out, there's no manuscript closer to the original than this Bible. Amen. And you know, in the Louvre in Paris, and I've said this before, there's 5 miles of outdated science books. There's so much science in this Bible that God tells you that he weighed the salt of the sand or the salt of the sea. You know that the sea has to weigh, the salt in the sea has to weigh a certain amount so that when the water evaporates, the salt stays back and the water can be recycled throughout the world. If it wasn't so and it wasn't weighed out, then what would happen is that the water would not arise and we'd end up with the Dead Sea. Amen? And thank God that God knows science. Amen? Well, the truth, my brethren, is Easter is a pagan holiday. It's a pagan holiday. Easter is a pagan holiday. There is nowhere in the Bible, no scripture where anyone is told to celebrate Easter. Nowhere. Jesus did not tell anyone to celebrate Easter. There is no place found in scripture where any apostle said to anyone to celebrate Easter. In fact, there's no place in scripture where anyone is told to celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. Easter is a pagan festival celebrated to the goddess of fertility. In Ephesus, she was called Diana. In Babylon, Semiramis. In Phoenicia, she was called Astaroth. And in Greece, she was called Astarte. And in English, we say Easter, Easter. And Easter, my brethren, has nothing to do with Christians, nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And if you're listening here this evening and you're saved, Easter has nothing to do with you. Amen. And we're not here to celebrate Easter in this season. We do not come together on a Sunday morning for sunrise service. Why? Listen, to celebrate Easter or Christmas. Not this Sunday, not any Sunday. Amen. And so the world in general will come together. And you know, the world thinks about Jesus Christ really two times a year. After the holiday season, the world will continue on about their worldly business. They'll forget about God until the next holiday or until a tragedy comes into their lives. But my brethren, we're not of the world. Amen. If you're saved, sealed, sanctified by the Holy Ghost of God, then you know what? You're not a pagan. Even as Jesus Christ was not of this world, neither are we. You do not go to church on a Sunday to celebrate pagan holidays. Hey, well, brethren, leave that to the pagans. Christian remembers the birth and the death of Jesus Christ every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, he was born to die. And it is in the power of his resurrection where you and I, we find hope. If there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, there can be no hope for anybody. Then it must be, let's eat, drink, party, because tomorrow we die. And that's what the atheist teaches. And if there's no resurrection, there can be no hope. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Did you get that? If in this life, the life we are living right now, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen, if Christ has not resurrected and we have no hope in a future life, then we might as well be miserable creatures. To the Christian, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a display of power and might of Almighty God. And what is the exceeding greatness, the scriptures say, of his power to usward who believe, you and I, the believer, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Oh, my brethren, you better watch out what name you're relying on, because Jesus Christ is a name above all names. It's above the name above government. It's a name above all other pagan deities. It's a name above all names. It's a name above monetary gain, money, cash, bills, far above all principalities and powers and might, whether they be physical or spiritual, and dominion. And every name that is named, every name that is named, it doesn't matter who your president is. It doesn't matter who your king is. It doesn't matter who your prince in this world is. It doesn't matter who your banker is. It doesn't matter who your pastor is. It doesn't matter who your preacher is. It doesn't matter who the pope is. Because listen, my brethren, Jesus Christ is raised up above and beyond. Scripture says far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration, and it is a declaration of his deity. Romans 1:4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. He's declared the Son of God with power, not with weakness, not with meekness, but according to the Spirit of holiness. How? What is that declaration? By the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Buddha's in his grave. Muhammad's in his grave. Joseph Smith is in his grave. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty, my brethren. It's empty today. It was empty 3 days after he died. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a declaration of the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer, you and I. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead the third day from that tomb will also resurrect us one day. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration of the clear and concise defeat of Satan and his minions. Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Why, that slimy Satan, he was waiting around thinking that he had crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and when he was dead, it was over. And then somebody came and knocked on his door and said, Satan, Satan. He said, what, what? And they said, hey, we got a problem. That Son of God, he resurrected. And amen. And that's what Jesus said. He stood up, he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Listen, your Mormon, Joseph Smith, they cannot stand up and say that. They are dead. Muhammad cannot stand up and say that. He is dead. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There are so many people out there claiming that they are Christ and that they are gods. And listen, that you can become a god. Listen, my brethren, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, look, he says, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And you know what he has? He has the keys of hell and of death. And those keys and that power of death had belonged to Satan, the adversary of God, the adversary of every man alive. Lord, have mercy. Jesus Christ has those keys. He has the keys to the gates of hell. He has the keys of death. Amen. You know that there's a second death? That's right. If you're not a Christian, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there will come a day when you will stand before the white throne judgment of God, and God will see if your name is written in the book of life. And if your name is not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. The Lord will say, I never knew you. People say, oh, that's awful mean to say, man. How could you say that God, a loving God, would send somebody to hell? Listen, God didn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell. If you make a choice, you either choose to serve the living God in holiness and righteousness, or you serve the devil. But you have to serve somebody, and everybody's serving somebody. You can't stand in between. I told the story before. The devil was out there, and the Lord was out there, and the Lord got his people out of his field and his sheep, and the devil came and got his people out of his field, and one guy was sitting on the fence. And the devil came back and said to that man, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm not with God, and I'm not with you. I'm in the middle. And he said, no, I'm sorry, mister. That fence belongs to me. You cannot stand on the fence. Where I come from a country town up in New England, and the only thing in the middle of the road in New England is a yellow line. That's in the middle. You can't stand in the middle. Amen? To make a choice. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration of the clear and concise defeat of Satan and his minions. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration, amen, it's a declaration that Jesus Christ has destroyed the sting of sin. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:55 and 57, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Christian, isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I have victory in Jesus Christ? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Listen, I may go to the grave, but I'm not staying there. The Apostle Paul said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. There's nothing in between. You read your Bible. There's no place as purgatory. It doesn't exist. And I know there's some people that teach it's a place where you go and you wait. But I'm telling you, brethren, when you read the story of Lazarus and the rich man and Abraham standing in Abraham's bosom, and he looks across, and that rich man says, please, just dip your finger, the tip of your finger, in a little water. And they said, we can't cross over. There's nothing in between. You're either there or here. That's what Abraham said. That's what the Bible says. And it doesn't matter what anybody teaches. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter. That's not my interpretation. That's what the Bible says, and it's clear, literal, and direct. You can twist it any way you want. And don't get mad at me. I'm just the pizza delivery boy. I don't make the pizza. I just deliver it. I didn't write the word of God. I just deliver it. And I know some people don't like to hear the truth, and I know some people are too proudful to turn from their way, but I'm telling you, as your brother in Christ, you need to read your Bible. Don't get bibliophobia. Do you know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the declaration of hope, blessed assurance? That's right. It's hope's blessed assurance. Listen, that resurrection of Jesus Christ on that day, on resurrection morning, the scripture says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. Oh, that's our blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't you know the apostles stood? And when Jesus Christ went up in the clouds, the apostles stood there and they said to them, well, they said, sir, what ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus which ye see ascending shall come in like manner for you. Amen. That's not another Jesus. Not Joseph Smith's Jesus. Not the Mormon Jesus. Not anybody else's Jesus. Not the Jehovah Witnesses Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ will return, and when he returns, the scripture says, he will come back for you. And you and I as Christians are to be looking for that blessed hope. We don't have hope like the world has. The world hopes that when they sit in a chair, it's going to hold them up. The world hopes that one day they may win the lottery. The world, but listen, we have a sure thing, and that sure thing is Jesus Christ, and that's our blessed hope. We're hoping in the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and that's what Titus 2:13 says. He says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, folks, if you have a new modern Bible, because they've changed that around for you, so you don't have God and Jesus Christ as being one. Some people are looking for the one. Well, you're going to get the one. He's called Antichrist. So you just keep looking, because you're looking in the wrong place. Amen? You just keep looking in the wrong place, and you'll get what you want. Scripture says over in 1 Thessalonians, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, those who have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Never, eternally present in the almighty presence of God Almighty himself. What a glorious time. What a glorious moment that'll be. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to know, who among us can dispute with death? Can you fight death? Only one, and that one, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his uprising from among the dead, we behold the display of the exceeding greatness of God's power. Not merely his power, but his greatness. Yes, the exceeding greatness of his power. Creation declares God's power. The scriptures say in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look up into the heavens, you see the glory of God. These atheists running around saying there's no God. Listen, my friends, you don't walk down the street and find a watch on the street and say, ooh, look what grew out of the grass. Come on. You look into that creation up there and you see it's running precisely mathematically correct that just one fragment off, the whole thing would collide and crash. For the heavens declare the glory of God and affirm its sureness anywhere. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But brothers, Christ's resurrection, it manifests the exceeding greatness of his almighty power. Amen. Behold, the Holy Spirit's emphasis with the angelic message is, he is risen, and he goeth before thee, and ye shall see him. And as the women went on their directed way, Jesus met them, and he greeted them with the salutation, all hail. And they worshipped him, and he assured them that they should see him after they had told the disciples he was risen. And my brethren, just as those Philistines knew the reality and the power of Samson's presence when he took away the doors, the gates, and the posts of the city of Gaza and laughed at his enemies to their discomfort, so Jesus Christ, after he had carried away the keys of hell and of death by his resurrection, spoiling principalities and powers, oh, hallelujah, and making a show of them openly. And I can't help but envision this, my brethren. I can't help but envision Satan's face, the look on his face, and the very smile on Jesus Christ's face as Jesus Christ walked away with the jailer's keys, where sin and death were held secure by the adversary. Never, I imagine, was there ever an applause so great heard in the heavens above as the angelic citizens of heaven looked down from their heavenly balcony. And now, Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, stands before us in the glow and the glory of his victorious presence, and he says this, Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, my brethren, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with Easter eggs, nothing to do with rabbits, nothing to do with sunrise service. My brethren, Jesus Christ was already resurrected. They got to the tomb before dawn, it said. He was already resurrected. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration to the unsaved, dead, and dying, who have no place in their hearts for Jesus Christ. Here's what he says to the world. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus Christ himself declares, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hey, listen, Alpha's the first letter of the alphabet, Omega's the last letter of the alphabet, and Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the letter. He is the word from the beginning to the end. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty God. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. God's got some reward for every man. And I ask you, my brethren, what is your work? What is your work? What have you done today? Ask yourself. See if you can make a list. Tell yourself. Find out. Search your own soul. What have you done today just for Jesus Christ? What have you done? Don't tell me you bought your wife something to make her happy just for Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you said a prayer for somebody just for Jesus Christ. You did those things for the people. What have you done just for Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. Lord, have mercy. This pagan holiday nonsense ought to stop. Churches are running around advertising Easter Sunday, Easter Sunday. Well, we want to bring the world in. You're going to get the world, my brethren. You're going to get the world in your churches. Your churches ought to know the difference, and your people ought to know the difference between Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing wrong with celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christian celebrates it every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. What do you want to bring that nonsense into your churches for? Easter, Astarte. That nonsense started in Babylon. It didn't get them anywhere, and it's not going to get you anywhere. You're not going to get any credit if you win any souls. You know what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? You did it the wrong way. That's what God's going to say. You don't need to have an Easter program. How about a Resurrection Sunday program? Try that one. Cut it out. Quit trying to be like the world. And I'm talking to pastors. You know who you are. And you know what I'm saying. Knock that nonsense off. You think God's pleased with that? You're out of your mind. It's far too long, you pastors, to let this nonsense go by. Celebrate Halloween's at your church, cutting out pumpkins with kids. You know what Halloween represents. How about just having a special day for your children to come to the church so they don't have to walk around in ghouls and goblins and evil costumes? Oh, it's just a holiday. Hey, holy day. It's a holy day, and it's not God's holy day. Easter is a pagan holiday, and you're allowing your churches to be involved in it, and you're teaching your parishioners to be involved in it, and you're going to answer to God for it because you're leading that church and you're leading them down that path. And you need to put Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Let the world celebrate Easter. Let the world go out and chase Easter eggs on the White House lawn. What's the matter with you people? Rabbits, Easter eggs. You teach your children Santa Claus. Come on, how long are you going to lie to your children? What's going on out there? Why don't you tell them the truth? People brought Christ gifts. And so we exchange a gift in our home to remember Jesus Christ. We're not celebrating Christ Mass. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus Christ wasn't even born in December. He's probably born in October. I don't know what's wrong with you people. I don't know why you're teaching that stuff. Easter is a pagan holiday, and there's nowhere in Scripture where anyone is told to celebrate Easter. But if you want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ just so you can reach out to the world, then you call it Resurrection Sunday. You don't put Easter Sunday up there. Easter is a pagan holiday. Are you a pagan? Are you a pagan preacher? You're giving God lip service, preacher. Lord, have mercy. And if some of you have never heard this before, well, what's the difference? The difference is the difference. The difference is whether Christ was hung on a cross or run over by a truck. Do you know that difference? Lord, have mercy. My Lord's name is not Hercules. He's not a myth. It's not Icarus. My Lord's name is Jesus Christ, and it's a name above all names, and it's to be honored 7 days a week, 365 days a year. On a Resurrection Sunday, if you're going to have a Sunday holiday, and you're going to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's Resurrection Sunday. It is not Easter Sunday. We don't do 40 days of Lent. We don't do 40 days. We're not pagans. We're not waiting for the summer solstice. You need to find out what this had to do with Nimrod. And why would you bring that stuff into your church? Rick Warren and the rest of you? What's the matter with you? What are you all thinking? Mega church. Bring the world in. Yeah, that's why your church looks like the world. I went to a church one day and had women up on the front by the pulpit, a woman praying in the church, and not only the woman praying in the church before the men, but then the woman was up there, and listen, women can teach women and the children, but I'm telling you, these women were wearing clothes that were form-fitting, they were disgusting. I wanted to get up, my wife was a baby Christian, I wanted to kick the pulpit over and throw them all out and say, this is how you honor God, you come in here dressed in rags, and you come in here dressed like whores and prostitutes, and you want to say you're honoring God? Your low-cut blouses and your high heels, and you're running around like a predator? What's the matter with you? Your men are wearing form-fitting clothes and shirts that are halfway down, their bellies all hanging out and hanging off their pants, and they're singing rap and rock and roll music with drums beating with that demonic beat, and they want to call these places the places of God. My friend, you've got some Easter in your church, and you need to get it out. You need to get it out, pastor. You need to get it out, parishioner. You need to go to that pastor and get him out if you don't know how to get right. Quit playing with God. Quit playing with God. Stand up and do what's right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a stand. Don't worry about whether you're going to get money in that plate or not. God will support you. If you do what's right for God, God will see that you get the things you need. And that goes for every Christian. Every Christian. God will take care of you. God doesn't leave his children begging in the streets. If you're not worshiping the Lord and doing what's right, then don't expect to be blessed from God. And I'm not saying every Christian's rich, but I'll tell you what, God will supply your needs. He may not give you your wants. You might not find that Mercedes-Benz out there, pastor, and if you got one, you ought to get rid of it anyway. And okay, you're worth double honor. That's what the Scripture says, and amen. Amen. Like some of you guys are riding around in Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz, and you got signs up in front telling everybody you're like a Pharisee, clergy in your window. You want everybody to know who you are, like a Pharisee walking around with a phylactery on your forehead, and all you're doing is showing your pride off. Get that thing off your car. They ought to know you're clergy by the way you dress. They ought to know you're clergy when you get out of the car with your Bible. They ought to know the clergy by your doctrine. They ought to know you're clergy because they know your people and your parishioners from the neighborhood. Cut it out. Quit playing with God. Lord, have mercy. When does it end? You better hope it ends soon, because Jesus Christ is going to return real soon, and every one of you are going to answer for that nonsense going on out there. And a lot of you guys know that these modern Bibles are wrong, and you allow them in the church. Oh, they're easier to understand. No, they're not. They're easier for you to put money in your pocket. That's what it is, my friend. You sell them in your bookstores, and you dishonor God. You sell them there, and you recommend them, and you don't care what they bring to church. Oh, as long as they show up. Oh, yeah. Picture Jesus telling them that. Yeah, just anybody show up any way you want. Just come on in. It's okay. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ was a street preacher, and he reached out to a lot of people. And you know what? But I'll tell you what. You have more common sense than some of those people, and you know that if the governor of your state invited you to dinner tonight, you would dress up for that dinner to have dinner at that table. You know you would. You wouldn't show up in rags. You wouldn't show up in a pair of jeans up in your crotch. You wouldn't show up with your breasts hanging out. You wouldn't show up with a skirt up your butt. You'd go up there and you'd dress like a decent person. You'd go to the governor's mansion and you'd have dinner. And yet you have the nerve to go to God's church dressed like an ape, like an animal. You go to God's church just like a fool. Why do you honor God? What makes another person on the street want to belong to your church? I can get that stuff down in the whorehouses. I can go find that stuff. I can go find that stuff out in the streets, in the drug alleys. What do I need that stuff for? I can go hang out at strip bars and find the stuff that's going on in some of these churches and this music and concerts. You ought to knock that crap off. You ought to grow up. Get out of that spiritual little slumber you're in and pretending you're a Christian. Why don't you cut it out, you hypocrites? It's time to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got rights. And you ought to stand up for those rights. You ought to look like a Christian. You ought to dress like a Christian. You ought to carry a King James Bible. And you ought to know the Bible. And quit waiting for somebody else to tell you what it means. Get in there and read it. Maybe you'll find out yourself. Quit playing with God. You're like you're standing at the pool's edge and you keep dipping your toe in there. Cut it out. Get in the water. Get in the fight. Get in the trenches. Go win some souls for Jesus Christ. And you pastors out there, even in California, they got pastors that won't even go out and soul win. They send out their parishioners. They're too busy to soul win. Hey, listen, you got a pastor that's too busy to soul win, I tell you what, you open your door and kick him in his rear end right out the front door, because that's what he needs. Because he's not a leader. He wants you to lead the church. He just wants to reap the benefits of it. You need to throw him out. Cut it out. We're tired of this nonsense. God's tired of this nonsense. It's time to realize that Easter is not a Christian holiday. Easter is a pagan holiday and has nothing to do with a Christian. Now, I said if you want to celebrate Resurrection Sunday in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, that's fine. But don't go call it Easter Sunday. It's how simple. I have a young man standing here right now. He's 6 years old. He knows more about God than most of you. I worship God. He's prayed in services. He's preached in a service. He's 6 years old. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. He might come to your church and take it over one day. Shame on you. Right now, I'm gonna let my brother sing a song to you. The name of his song is Bring Them In. Bring Them In. And then I'm going to tell you something before we go off the air here this evening. His name is Aiden Bruff. Aiden Bruff. 6 years old. He's going to sing tonight. The first stanza.
'Tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Aiden. 6 years old, and talking about bringing them into the church. You know how we go out soul winning, and this young man sees a man walking, he run up to him, hand him a tract. Let's give him a tract. Pastor, we don't want him to go to hell. Let's give him a tract. And 6 years old, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, you know, that ought to put a shame to people to know that God has a six-year-old that's doing more for the Lord than most preachers and teachers. You're sure talking up a good storm. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you what the Lord's put on my heart. And if you're mad at me, that's too bad. Take it up with God. You know, I get tired of people say, well, Pastor, you can't preach like that. Listen, I preach what the Lord Jesus Christ puts on my heart. You don't tell me what to preach. I don't tell you what to preach in your church. You know what? There's a radio dial. And if I'm offending you by what I'm saying, then God's offending you. Turn it off. and get on down your merry way and stay in your little Christian baby crib and get some milk up, because the Bible says there's milk, meat, and strong meat. And you say, well, that, you know, Pastor, you sure holler a lot. Hey, you think I'm hollering now? Wait till you stand before the judgment seat of God. Wait till God gets you up there before that white throne judgment if you're not saved. You're going to hear something. You're going to hear something like you never heard before. They said a voice of the Lord is thunder, like thunder. He spake and the mountain shook. You don't know the power of Almighty God. Almighty God knows how many atoms it takes to make a universe. He's a wise God. He's a good God. And he's a loving God. But he won't tolerate your sin. And he's not going to tolerate it forever. God has more ways than one to take a man out of this world. I'll bet if you walked up to the gates of hell and looked in and said to them now, what were you doing when you died? Most of them say, well, we never figured it would be this way, or we didn't know it was coming that fast, or we sure had our plans, and we were going to do this, and we were going to do that. But now we're down here in hell because we didn't take it. We should have just received Jesus Christ. It was free, but we chose not to. We chose to be separated from God, and here we are. And as the sulfur burns your nose while you're talking to them, that's what's going to happen, my brethren. And if you're out there tonight and you're listening to this sermon and you've never heard real preaching, well, you got some tonight, my friends. Praise the Lord for it and thank God for it that somebody in the United States of America has the courage to stand up for God and to speak the truth. That I didn't come here tonight to pat you on the back of the head and tell you, oh, you're all wonderful people. We're all going to have a wonderful time tonight. And let's get happy and joyful and clap our hands and praise the Lord and sing song. And listen, we should sing and we should be happy to be in the house of the Lord. The word sermon means to stab. And when we preach the word of God, it should bring conviction. Who wants to go to church and be told all the time, oh, you're so wonderful people, and everything's going to be okay. And, you know, plant your seed money today. Just put your money right here. Why, I saw a clown, Christian clown, and that's what he is. He's a Christian clown out there selling miracle oil. Magic miracle oil. Well, he'll send you for $20, he'll send you a bottle of oil, and you can get 21 miracles out of there. How about that deal? For $20, 21 miracles. Amen. And you know what? The people by the hordes are sending the money, and they think they're getting a miracle. Why? You think the devil doesn't know how to make a miracle? Moses stood there with Aaron before those magic men, Jane, and before Pharaoh, and he put that stake down, that stick turned into a snake. And then Jambres and Jambres came out, the magic men of Pharaoh, and they did the same thing. Where'd they get the power for their little trick? Well, it didn't come from God, because Moses and Aaron were representing God. Somebody out there has got power to trick you. You better be awake. You better know the gospel of Jesus Christ, because every miracle you see is not of God. You know what the problem is, brethren? Here's the problem. And I'm talking to you honestly. I want to help somebody. I didn't come out here to preach to beat you up. And if you got beat up, then you have some things you need to straighten out in your life, and you know it and I know it. And thank God for that. Because, you know, God chastens us and he corrects us, and the word of God will correct us. And that's why we go to hear what the preacher has to say. You tuned in here tonight to hear what the preacher had to say, and you heard what the preacher had to say. Amen. The preacher had to say what God had on his heart. And sometimes it's not easy to hear what the preacher says. Sometimes we think we're doing right. You know there's churches that have left Jesus Christ behind and they don't even know it? I mean, look at Mary and Joseph. And they were walking along in 3 days. They realized they left Jesus behind. They didn't know it. They thought he was right there with them all the time. And that's what's going on with some of the churches here. They think Jesus Christ is with them, but they forgot they left Jesus Christ behind. They became a business. They became a profit house. They became a place of entertainment and music and more things to do. And more things to buy, and more things to raffle, and more auctions to have, and more ways to raise money, and more parties. Why don't you trust God? Why don't we go out there and fill our churches with parishioners who want to give? How come your people don't want to give? If your people don't want to give, there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with the Holy Spirit in them. It's not their Holy Spirit, you see, because there's never anything wrong with the Holy Spirit. But they got spirit trouble, all right? And you know what? It's called covetousness. They're not going to get off their money. Well, that's what they need to do. You need to help support the church. Somebody pays the lights. Somebody pays the electricity. Somebody pays for the pastor to work all week. Somebody pays for the visitation. Somebody's got to help the pastor. You know, he can't do it all on his own. Money doesn't just fall out of the sky. God set up a system, and the system was tithing in the Old Testament. And Paul said that we're to put up what we've gained during the week, and we're to put it aside, and to give willfully, out of a cheerful heart to the Lord, so that the work of God can continue. Somebody's got to buy tracts. Somebody's got to print tracts. Somebody's got to put books out. Somebody's got to give information. Somebody's got to buy Bibles. Somebody's got to get the hymnals. I mean, come on, my people. How do you think these churches run? If you don't give to the cause of God, how will they pay the missionary to go out and bring the word of God? And how will they send the missionary what he needs? And how will the buses run to pick the people up? What do you think? It all happens by itself? That's just God has given you, and he gives you abundantly so that you can give. We make a living to make a giving. None of us are taking any of this stuff with us. We get caught up in pagan holidays like Easter and Halloween and Christmas with Santa Claus. You know, you can't spell Satan without Santa Claus. And by the way, there's somebody in the Bible who says ho, ho, ho. You know, he says ho, ho, and he comes from the north. Yeah, think about that. You ought to look that up. You know why you don't know that? Because you don't read your Bible. You want somebody else to read it to you. You want somebody else to study it for you. You're waiting for somebody on Sunday to teach you something. Hey, listen, you ought to know something before you get there. And half of us go to church, you don't even pray for the preacher. You haven't even prayed for this radio program. You haven't prayed for the listening audience. You haven't prayed for Brother Nathan. You haven't prayed for D.L. Brown. You haven't prayed for the guests on here. You haven't prayed for the children that are going to listen on here. You haven't prayed for the unsaved. You just came on here to listen. You want to be entertained. Not came here to give a message. You say, well, you get a lot of hollering. Oh, come on. A lot of hollering. I did a lot of righteous indignation, fiery Holy Ghost preaching. There's nothing wrong with that. What do you want to hear a mealy-mouthed preacher for? Joe Olstein walking around with his hand in his pocket saying, well, you know, your problem is that you look down on yourself, and you ought to look up on yourself because you're worthy of something. I mean, after all, you know, you are a somebody. Hey, listen, that's Norman Vincent Peale stuff. You go study Norman Vincent Peale and see what you're getting in the positive thinking churches. Just name it and claim it. Just name it, you're going to get it. Hey, listen, you're going to get it, all right. It may not be what you want. Amen. Ezekiel 14, the Bible says, if you want to believe a lie, God will give you a lie. You say, I never read that. That's because you don't read your Bible. Go read Ezekiel 14. It says, if you want a lie, God will give you a lie. He'll give you the prophet to bring you the lie. And when he punishes that prophet, he'll punish you with him. Woo! Hey, that's scary stuff. You know what the problem is? We get into experiences in our Christian walk. And these experiences are things that happen to us. And what we do is we compare our experience. See, we try the Bible by our experience. And that ought not to be, my brethren. You're to try your experience by the Bible. Listen, if you're having a miracle, you better make sure it's of God. Satan can give you a miracle. How do you think these palm readers and all these demons, the horoscopes, and all those things work? How do you think they work? Well, today you're going to meet a man, and he's going to be dark and handsome. And what do you think? Satan don't know how to get an unsaved man in your path? Sometimes a saved man. You know what? How do you think that works? How do you think the medium works? She's not talking through Jesus Christ's spirit at the seance. Those are powers of demons and devils and doctrines, Luciferian doctrines, Unitarian doctrines, Mormon doctrines, Joseph Smith doctrines, Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe anything about the Holy Spirit except he's a force. Didn't Paul say in the book of Acts that they lied to the Holy Spirit? How could you lie to a force? Come on, people. Well, we should be tolerant. Listen, you don't know what the word tolerant means. You don't know what the word ignorant means. You want to remove ignorant from the Bible because they think it's bad to be ignorant. Listen, I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant of how rocket ships work. I don't know anything about that, so I'm ignorant of that. That doesn't make me stupid. That's not the kind of ignorant. That's what Paul said in the Bible constantly. I would not, brethren, to have you to be ignorant. In other words, I don't want you not to know something. It doesn't make you stupid. It just means you didn't know something. And so they took that word tolerate. Well, we have to tolerate them. Listen, brother, there's a difference between love and like. And we ought to know that as Christians. I don't have to like anything anybody's done in their lives. I don't have to like a crime they've committed. I don't have to like the way they treated their family. I don't have to like the way they treated themselves. But I have to love them. And we ought to know the difference between like and love. We ought to know about forgiveness. Not only in our own lives, but toward others. Toward others. We'll forgive because Jesus was forgiven. Us. Jesus was full of forgiveness. He told those 10 lepers he cleansed, that their sins were forgiven to go their way. Only one came back. What happened the other nine? Are we doing the same thing? Are we marching ahead and have we forgot Jesus? Do we have so much on our church agenda that we don't have Jesus on it? Are we in a routine? Do we go to church every Sunday as a routine? Do we just believe everything the pastor says? Do we believe everything that the Pope says? Do we believe everything that the imams say? Don't we open our books and find out if it's true or it's not? I mean, that is the measure of all things. There is no more accurate book in the world than the Bible. It has never been historically, doctrinally, anthropologically, geologically proven wrong. Never. Never. You can't say that about any other book. Even scientifically. There are 66 books in the Bible written over a great period of time, and yet it's all one story. You can follow the blood from the very beginning. When in that garden of Adam, in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and God took an innocent lamb, and he shed that innocent lamb to cover their nakedness. And you know what he was showing us? It's going to be the same way all the way through. You're going to need an innocent lamb to shed its blood and to cover your sin. And that's what happened. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, he came to this earth to die for you. He loved you before you even knew him. And he came here and he died for you. Oh, how great he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knelt down and he prayed. The Bible says he prayed until his sweat became drops of blood. And there really is a medical condition for that. And it's when somebody is under such great stress, it's called hemodiatrosis. And you can become under such stress that your body will secrete blood. And there Jesus was on his knees asking his Father, if this cup possibly be taken from me, if not, he was ready to surrender to it. And that cup was the cup of death, the cup of suffering, the baptism of death that Jesus would enter for each and every one of us, so that we didn't have to spend all eternity separated from God. And people say, well, why would God do that? Well, God gave man free will, and man chose to be a sinner. Adam and Eve had a perfect environment. And oh, how many of our children and our friends say, well, if I only lived in that neighborhood, if I only lived in that environment, that perfect environment. Listen, Satan lived in a perfect environment. He was called Lucifer. He was a covering cherub. He covered the throne of God. The Bible says he had his music piped in, yet sin was found in his heart. He had a perfect environment. It wasn't his environment that changed him. It was his heart. What's in your heart? What's in your heart tonight? Is there pride in your heart? Are you holding back from God? Are you afraid? Are you scared? What are you afraid of? Don't you know if you're saved, you're a child of God? And if you're not saved, what are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. Oh, tomorrow's not promised. We live in a world, America's become the land of sudden death. Listen, people, saved and unsaved, we do not know if we are going to see tomorrow. The rapture may occur any minute. It may not occur any minute. But we know the Lord is coming, and it could be any minute. But we also know that America has become the land of sudden death. Have you seen what's going on in our world? Do you know the spirit of rebellion and materialism and perversion of our times? Look at 150 people were on that German airliner, and every one of them thought they were going to their destination. And that man in the cockpit locked out the pilot, and the co-pilot intentionally drove it right into a mountain with the people screaming, killed 150 people. Nobody thought they would die that day. They all thought they were going to go about their lives. And I hope there were saved people on that plane, because at least they're on their way to heaven. They made it through the gate. They've overcome death. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. But oh, for those who were not saved, and they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they refused to repent from their sin, and they went about their merry way of partying. Can they hit that mountain? And there's no hope for them, not in this world nor in the world to come. And there's no comfort for anybody who knew that or their family. And I plead with you tonight. I beg you, I beseech you, that if you don't know Jesus Christ, let your soul be saved. don't end up in hell. People are killed every day. Wrong way drivers, electrocutions, falling off ladders, slipping through doors, being shot in restaurants. They didn't do anything. Killed for no reason. The devil knows his time's short. Can't you see that he's on a rampage? Oh, if you can't get it saved before the rapture, you'll have to go through the tribulation. How will you survive the tribulation without the church, without the children of God here to preach the gospel? How? How when the Lord takes the church off the earth and Satan's left to rule here for 7 years? How will you survive, my friends? Oh, Lord have mercy. I beg you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight who died for you. He got on that cross knowing that he'd suffer and all the pain he'd have to suffer. But oh, when he resurrected the glory and the power, oh, the universe, Jesus Christ could stand up and take the whole universe and put it on his shoulders like a cape, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day Satan will have his fall. One day the penalty of sin will be paid, and Satan will find his way into the lake of fire along with the false prophet, and not only him, but all those who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't deny God. He loves you. He loved you enough to go to the cross to die for you, to pay for a sin that you cannot pay for. Oh, my brother, if you just pray with me right now and bow your head and say, Holy Father, I know I'm a sinner. And, oh, Lord, I need to be saved. And I don't want to go to hell. And I'm going to turn from my sinful ways. And I'm going to receive Jesus Christ tonight as my Lord and Savior. Oh, Lord, I receive Jesus. I believe that he died for my sins, that he was buried and the third day he resurrected, and that now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I turn from my sins. And, brethren, if you have prayed that tonight, the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And this night you have called upon the name of the Lord, and you are saved by the Word of God. The Word of God promises that. God cannot lie. He said if you received his Son and if you prayed that prayer in earnest and truth in your heart, then you are a saved soul. And I'd love to hear from you. If you would just email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. I'm going to send you some material that's going to help you in your Christian walk and to start you out. I'm going to send you some things that will help you. I'll send you a book called The Next Step. It'll help you in your Christian walk. You need to find a good King James Bible believing church and go there. And it doesn't matter what your friends think. You do what the Lord would have you do. And I want to thank you, and the Lord bless you, and you have a good evening. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this time to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that tonight you continue to touch hearts and to those who will archive this message, and it will touch their hearts also, Lord. Lord, we pray that you have given them courage to come forward to receive your Son who willfully died to save them from a death of pain and torment for eternity. And, oh, Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the listeners. We ask you to bless those who have asked for prayer. Help Sister Joan. Bless Sister Rhonda, who needs your healing power, God. Bless Brother Joseph and his family. Lord, bless the Bruff family. Lord, God, bless Kitty as she heals, Lord, and help her husband, Fred, Lord, help him to study his Bible. Lord, help all those out there that have been asking for prayer that you would heal them from the crown of their head to the very tips of their toes. Touch my daughter Belva's heart, Lord. Comfort her as she prepares for the second surgery, God. Oh, Lord, let it be not even necessary. You could heal her, Father God, but not our will, Lord. Your will, because everything works to your glory. No matter what it is, it's for your glory. And we just praise you for all these things. We ask you to bless Gene Rice and his wife, Lord, that you would heal his throat, Lord, and that you would make him able to preach, Lord, soon. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you. We ask you to bless the Bible Believers Baptist Church down here in Imperial Beach, that we can reach out to many. Lord, help us to continue to be the stronghold you have allowed us to be, Lord. Let us not see strength, Lord, in the things of the world, but in your glory and your praise and your honor and your blessings. And help us, Father, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and financially, Lord. Help the homeless and our military, Lord, tonight. Protect them and their families, Lord, those who are away and those who are here. Lord, guide our government and lead us, Lord, and heal our land. And we thank you, Father God. And we ask you to touch the nation of Israel, Lord, and those who are of the 12 tribes of Israel were there scattered abroad, Lord, those children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, that you would bless them and bring them to Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Nathan, we love you.
Don't go and talk about my father.